Hi there, listener, and thank you for joining us for this mini episode of the Ski Podcast. I am your host, Ian Martin, and if you listen to episode 255, you'll know we were discussing sustainability and the importance of extending the life of our outdoor kit. Now, as well as chatting with Heather Davis from the Reaction Collective, I also included an interview with Repair Claire in that episode. Claire heads up the excellent repair service that Montaigne offer their customers. And at the time, I had to cut our interview right down. So today, I'm bringing you the full conversation. Rather like Arc'teryx's Rebird project, which I featured in episode 218, I think it's important to highlight the great work on sustainability that brands like Montaigne are doing. In this chat, Claire tells us which are the most common repairs, what happens if a garment is beyond help, and why she doesn't like patches in different colours. Now, as regular listeners will know, the Ski Podcast is sponsored by Tyrol in Austria. I'd like to thank them for their support. I couldn't keep producing this podcast without it. Right. Let's have a listen to my interview with Montaigne's Repair Claire.
Cool. I'm delighted to be joined today by Claire Buglass from Montaigne. I actually came across you, Claire, because I was reading a special edition of Sidetrack magazine, which is all about Montaigne. And lots of stuff in there about the different ambassadors and athletes and things. But I found your story really, really interesting because you are Repair Claire. And we're going to come to what that means in due course. But how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, Repair Claire came along. It just rhymed. So it wasn't, it wasn't meant to be.
Whereabouts are you today, Claire?
I'm in my workshop and I'm based in Ashington, where Montaigne's headquarters are. And it's a little coastal village not far from the sea in East Northumberland.
Yeah. We were chatting earlier before we came on air, and you were saying that in that area, there's a long history of manufacturing, particularly for different clothing brands. And is that how Montaigne ended up being based there?
Yeah. So my history, I started when I was about 15, started in a little glove factory, which made ski gloves for Marks and Spencers, made leather gloves, Pink Soda. There was Next, there was Dewhurst, which produces for Marks and Spencers. But Montaigne was a tiny little shop. Workshop in Pegswood. All the background and it's here now. So yeah, we've moved to Ashington.
Oh, and when did you become involved with Montaigne then?
I've been at Montaigne 8 years now. And it was just by chance I bumped into one of my old colleagues from when I worked at Dewhurst. She was a technician and she was checked all the fabrics and garments and she just kept pulling at us and going, would you like to come to Montaigne? We haven't got anybody to do the repairs. Would you like to come? So, yeah, I took a gamble.
Well, you touched on it there. We mentioned your nickname earlier, Repair Claire. And the reason I wanted to have you on is I'm always interested in the actions that different brands are taking as far as sustainability is concerned. And you specifically deal with the repairs. It's called the Montaigne Repair Service, and you head that up. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it just started because when Dawn, who pulled my leg to get here, we had so many products that obviously people were sending back, but mainly because they were worn out and didn't know what to do with them. So they had like a few boxes in the warehouse, and I took all the spare parts from them. So then when a customer was sending one in to be repaired, I kind of started this great big catalogue of old stuff, old materials, old zips, zip pulls, Velcro, anything that I can take off, something that was old and worn out. That's kind of it's just worked so well, and now I've got so much stuff that, you know, somebody can have a jacket for 15 years and I've still got the materials. You know, it might be worn a little bit, but if we let the customer know that it is recycled, I'm sure they'll be thrilled.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's really interesting. So you're saying to me that almost before this was formalized, that customers, Montaigne customers, were sending back their kit because they wanted it to still be of use, or were they sending in specifically to try and get it repaired?
Sometimes it was just kind of wear and tear on the Velcro, but at that time we did have a lifetime guarantee. Depending on the product, you know, they would either get a voucher or a code now, they'll get a code for to buy a new product, because everything's changing, all the materials, everything's more sustainable. They're taking so much for weight. So the products that were 10 years ago aren't the products that we're producing now. But still, we have got the diehards who would love that product fixed. So I work closely with Liam, who does the fabrics. He didn't throw anything away for about 10 years. so we went through all the fabrics and worked out what I could keep, what was no good. And then we sent them off. We've got workshops at one of the museums in the do clicky mats. People from this area, like the mining community, would make mats, and they would cut the material into strips and make mats with, and some of them are in the museum, what the ladies sit and do. So that's quite interesting.
And so what you're saying is you have certain Montaigne customers then who have their treasured products, you know, that they've had for years, and they don't really want to get another one. They just want to get it repaired. What are the kind of most common or maybe even the trickiest repairs that you get coming in?
Hoods. Well, I've had somebody burn their hood off with a light bulb. It all depends where it's to get into the product and how to dissect it. Take it apart to get it in. So the smallest parts are probably the hardest, around the cuff area. That's quite difficult because you're working in such a small space.
Right. And what kind of volume of items do you get coming in? Is it just you? Do you have a team of you working on them?
Well, there is a team. I'm not the only one. I do the sewing, but we have got a team of five downstairs. Obviously, the customers send their repairs in via the website, and then Lauren, Katie and Pat, they deal with the customers and somebody's got to open the parcels and then pass them to me, log them in. I have trained somebody else, Rebecca Ash. So she works with Liam, who does the fabric. And then if I'm on holiday, Rebecca's quite capable of changing zip sliders, doing poppers, doing small patches. But I do the main repairs. As the volume, we kind of get a lot around October time, because I said to Jacob before, I think people kind of put them in that cupboard and think, I'll deal with you later if they've rolled down and put a hole in something. Summertime, it's mainly poppers, zippers, some packs where they've cracked clasp or a draw cord. So, but mainly it's kind of down products that I get through the winter throughout. So I usually get about 20, 25 a week in the winter time. Not so much in the summer, but it's surprising. Some repairs, I think, how on earth did you do that? And we'll get some stories like, this pack's been all over the world. It's been the Himalayas. It's been. So, yeah, we'll try and fix things that, you know, are treasured possessions.
Sure. And what about, I mean, there must be some items that you can't fix. What happens to those if you can't fix an item?
So we've got charity boxes where I will take off all the Montaigne. I'll cut all the labels out but leave the size tags in. They go to charity. I've got a lovely friend who I went to school with, Justine, who works with families that come across here and they've got absolutely nothing. It's a good thing. We've also had guys doing a challenge across. Oh, the guy was blind. And they were ex-army and they were going across the Atlantic. They approached Dawn and asked one of my colleagues and asked if we had any kit for them. So we gave them a load of stuff, bags, holdalls. So, yeah, the stuff always goes somewhere.
Am I right in thinking that some of them get sold through the outlet shop as well?
Yeah, we do get some. We get samples that obviously some of them have been in storage a while and need washed. So I've got washers, dryers, so I'll re-tag everything. We had a few, you know, I get repairs for like pocket linings, like when you put your hand in your pocket, obviously human error, the pocket hasn't been joined properly. So I can repair all of that and then it can go into the outlet.
Apparently, I also read in the article that you work quite closely actually with the design team, because you see, you know, what's going on with the product and, you know, maybe there's some repairs or whatever that crop up. So you can discuss with the design team elements and features that you think would be good.
Yeah, definitely. I think because of my background, I've done everything from wedding dresses to cushions, curtains. I hadn't done any products like this before I started Montane. I had been in tailoring. I can make you a cracking pair of pants in a dress jacket or a tuxedo. So I think when you've got knowledge of production and you get a lot of customer feedback, you've got the feedback of the design team, what's right, what's wrong, or what can potentially not work. And I think working as a collective team, if I get time where I can look at the products before they go in, so I'm looking at 2026 and then we'll start be going into 2027, we'll work so far ahead. Products have changed over the last few years. I think getting feedback is the best, and getting them tested, getting them out to athletes and people like yourself who can give feedback, true feedback on the wearability and how they fit, how they feel, is the pockets big enough, you know, is the hood, does it feel right on your head? You've got to get all this feedback. It should work as a collective.
It must be great to be involved in all aspects of it like that. And very satisfying to be able to help these products have a longer life. I did read as well, though, that you do have some aesthetic guidelines. You don't like to do patches on jackets in contrasting colours. Precise about that, right?
Well, we've got so many fabrics. Obviously, Liam's kept everything. We've got a multitude. Sometimes on a rare occasion, if something's 15-year-old, we take photographs of it and we're just thrilled a bit that it's lasted this long. But if somebody's had something a year and they're absolutely furious with themselves because they've slipped or they've gotten caught on barbed wire, I prefer to put the correct fabric in if I've got it. But I will bend a little bit if the wanted is a souvenir of where they've been and they rolled down and ripped their jacket and they want a red patch on. I would do it if it was over, but I don't know, 8-year-old. Oh. I don't know. I don't know what time I would put on it. But some people want it. Me personally, I would rather the right fabric on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that is brilliant, Claire. You know, I think it's so fantastic what Montane and, you know, other brands are doing this as well. But you know, it's really important to try and extend the life of items for as long as possible if we're going to be, you know, genuinely sustainable. So making them as good as you can in the first place, but offering a service like this, a repair service, is really important. So you've earned your title, Repair Claire, and I wish you all the best keeping it going. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Well, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Montane's Repair Claire. Why not let me know what you think by leaving me a comment on Spotify, Instagram or Facebook. Our handle is @theskipodcast, or drop me an email to theskipodcast@gmail.com. We have a busy few months coming up. Later this week, equipment expert Al Morgan will be joining me to cover the best new skis for this winter. A couple of weeks after that, we'll be looking at the best new ski boots. Plus, we're going to be finding out all about the different ski regions of Tyrol in Austria and lots more on top of that. So if you enjoyed this episode, why not follow us or subscribe so you never miss an episode? Or if you're booking ski hire this winter, don't forget that you can help the Ski Podcast and save yourself some money on your ski hire by using the code SKIPODCAST when you book at insportrent.com, or simply take the link in the show notes for your discount to be automatically applied. Right, for now, I'd like to thank Repair Claire for joining me, and thank you, listener, for tuning in, wherever in the world you're listening right now. And until next time, goodbye.